listening to WCNO Palm City.
And it's a new day. I'm Red Palmer. We're over at Rio Coco Cafe, which supports different ministries, particularly missionaries. And here today is Craig Englert. He is Pastor Craig Englert from Maui, 40 years as a pastor and now retired, visiting Vero Beach. Is this your first visit to Vero Beach, Pastor?
Not my first. This is a place I used to go to when I was in high school.
Really? Why here?
And I'd be with my friends on a search for surf, going further south, further south past Sebastian Inlet, and so we've come to Vero Beach different times.
Yeah, Melbourne's pretty famous for surfing, isn't it?
Very much so. And I did this when I was in high school, and my father was Air Force band leader, here at Patrick Air Force Base.
Really?
Yeah, and so I was here about 4 or 5 years, and mostly in my high school years.
That's funny. I sang at a lot of military bases, West Point, Key West, and Plattsburgh. That's what I used to do, sing patriotic songs. So anyway, I thought you might relate to that. But ironically, you're here now, though, to see a friend who you met in Maui prior to his conversion to Jesus, and now he's a missionary with his wife and family. Tell us all about your relationship, how you two hooked up.
Well, this is Mike Bagby you're referring to. Mike came to Maui after being in the Navy for some time as a pilot, and then he went to Colorado after he left the Navy, and he was getting to a lot of the fast life that was going on, with skiing, and then he got tired of that and wanted to come to Maui and visit his cousin who was living in Maui. And he was my next door neighbor, this cousin of his. And so Mike was invited to watch a football game. And he, his cousin invited me as a pastor to help him to win Mike to Christ, And so we made the introduction, but he didn't. He just introduced me as Craig Englert, not as a pastor. And so we just had a good time, had great fellowship around the football. We were joking around, that type of thing. And
so you're a pilot too?
No, not at all. I was a pastor at that time.
Oh, okay.
At Hope Chapel in Kihei. And the church was probably about a year old as a brand new church that we started. So anyway, Mike was invited to come to Hope Chapel the next day, but all of a sudden he sees me standing up there, and I was a pastor, and he was just absolutely amazed that somebody as normal as me was actually a pastor.
So he didn't know that when you first met you
at all
that you were the pastor. So he's in a state of shock when he walks in.
Not at all. And but when he heard me teach, he heard me say something. Really, the Spirit of God just really moved in his heart. I spoke about having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a background of sorts going to church, but he never got the understanding that the relationship with Christ is what Christianity is all about, not just religion, going to church, and doing things that church people do. And so that really got his interest, and the Spirit of God was using that to cause him to search the Lord and for the Lord and and eventually he received Christ.
And what is the difference? Because you can go stand in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. You can sit in a church pew and have a perfunctory presence, but it doesn't mean you really know Jesus. So for you, how would you admonish or how would you describe a true relationship with the living Lord?
Well, the idea of having a true relationship with the Lord is that what's so unique about Christianity is not just a philosophy, but it is it is something that has to do with knowing the person that's behind the philosophy. But we'll call this Christianity, because that's what Christianity is about. It is about a relationship with God and how we can have a relationship with God. And so the idea when you receive Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he gives us and you enter into that relationship with God as God's Spirit enters your life and you begin to know God, and you start growing in that relationship with God. And as the Spirit works in your life, through prayer and God speaking to you through his word and through the Holy Spirit, you enter into something that's beyond just going to church every Sunday or just even just reading the Bible, but you enter into the relationship with the author of the Bible.
Now, he says that he'll take your heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. Did that happen for you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So who were you prior to knowing Jesus? I'd like to know your story. Where were you reared? What were you all about? And at what age did you come to know the Lord? And how did that happen?
Well, as I mentioned, in high school, I got involved into the surfing world, and it was just kicking off at that time. This was way back in 1964.
Mm.
And so with that, I got into the crowd and I'll call it the fast life in the high school with drinking and sex and, you know, just that type of thing and just wild stuff that we were doing. At this time, you know, my parents were not Christians. They were, they made me go to church every now and then when I was growing up as a kid. But I paid no attention to it, at all. And neither did they. And so later on, I had a Christian girlfriend in high school who was a real straight laced person, you know, that it was not a good match for her. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Have me. And so I was made to go to church, because her father was a deacon at a Baptist church. And so I...
You wanted to win his favor.
Well, I had no choice because the father put his foot down and says, hey, you cannot date this person unless he starts going to church.
Really?
And so she was a gorgeous girl, and so I thought it was worth it. And so, but I wouldn't want to go to a Sunday evening service because I want to serve Sunday. That's my day, you know, to serve for sure. And so, but after every week, they had what I call the altar call, where they have people come forward to receive Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They would sing this song every Sunday night. I call it the National Christian Anthem of Just As I Am.
Yeah.
Billy Graham's song.
Yeah. George Beverly Lachey, and
that song was sung every time. But she would turn to me during that time to ask me and even beg me after every service, "Would you go forward and ask to be baptized?" And I said, "No way!" I can't go in front of all these people and so forth. And that's as far as it went for me.
Pride of man.
But to make a long story short, which is hard to do, but eventually my parents had to move to another base. It was in Mississippi, and so this was on the day of my graduation. I had to leave Florida to go to Mississippi, and I was there. It was a really hard move because I had a girlfriend in Florida, and of course, there's not much surf in Mississippi.
Mm-mm.
But some people flagged me down that were from Hawaii. This happened. They see me with a board on top of my car, and they asked me where the surf was, and I told them, "I'm still trying to find where that is." I was going to Dauphin Island off of Mobile at that time, and it's just 1 or 2 foot waves. And they said, "Well, we're from Hawaii, and we're going to the same school you're going to," which was the junior college there in Mississippi. And so they realized they made a big mistake in coming, and these guys had access to drugs and stuff like that, so we're doing drugs together in Mississippi, and they say, "Hey, we're going back to Hawaii. We made a mistake. Do you want to come with us?" And I said, "Well, let me think about it." Yes, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I definitely want to come back.
Sure.
So I did go to a school in Oahu, and I caught the best waves. I had another girlfriend that was just a beautiful girlfriend, and I didn't let my other girlfriend know in Florida what was going on. And I had one in Mississippi, too, at the same time. I had three girlfriends at this time, and I was...
You're a real cad.
I'm a real cad, and I was really had all the drugs I needed every day. It was so hard to get them in Mississippi, but man, it was living the dream of the best surf in the world.
Well, this was the 60s, right,
when everybody
was into LSD and marijuana and... Woodstock. I'm a Woodstock person myself.
It was all that.
Yep.
And that was something at this time. And I always put it this way. I was never so happy in all my life before I met the Lord, you know, because I was living the dream. I was obviously getting into addiction, and there was some destruction and my future, but I'm just a kid. I'm just living the dream.
Not realizing this is becoming habitual.
Yeah. And so what happened was, anyway, it just I was there in Hawaii for 4 months when this young man, his name is Del Rey. He was an officer at an Air Force base there in Oahu. And but he was a Christian, and he was a evangelist. And he would go to the night spots, you know, that's called Hotel Street, and he was called the chaplain of Hotel Street. Hmm. And he would do street preaching there, and he would do it for a long length of time. So he was given by the mayor of City Honolulu the title of the chaplain of Hotel Street, which is a red light district and all that kind of stuff. A lot of Navy people would go to. Well, he would come to my campus because he had a friend that of his that was going to the college I was going to, Hawaii Pacific College. And so he invited him to come to share Christ there with all the people that were in my school. Now, my school only had 80 people his first year at Hawaii Pacific College. And so it was a small school. And so everybody knew who this guy was because they were just traumatized by his preaching. So I heard him a couple times, but I always moved away from him.
Was he fire, if you don't mind me asking, was he fire and brimstone, meaning, you know, loud and aggressive, or was he more loving in nature?
He was very loud, very clever, didn't do fire and brimstone at all, but he would talk with the people and engage the people, and people would ask questions, and there'd be a group of 15 around him, and there'd be maybe some arguments, but he would always smile, and so he was, you know, he was a pretty good street evangelist in that sense, and he could hold a crowd's attention. But he one time asked me in the crowd, "Well, what about you? What do you think?" And I said, "I don't know. I have to go to class." And I just made a beeline, you know, because I'm not a real deep thinker by any stretch of the imagination. So about a week later, I was out with my friends. We did drugs all night, and then came to morning, and so they dropped me off at school real early. It was a half hour before the school actually started, and there was no one at the school. And what happened was is that I was sitting there looking out into the parking lot, and all of a sudden I see this car, the first car coming up, driving up. And I just looked at who it was, and it was this evangelist. He came a half hour early before school started. There was nobody else, but just me. It was a divine appointment.
Yeah.
You can see it coming up.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
To you, our wonderful and generous listeners, we wish a most blessed and joyful Christmas with God's rich grace showering you and your loved ones.
Experience resurrection life.
The kingdom of God is an instrument, and it dictates a time, place, and position within you, which reflects the dominion that God has given you.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce or online at trbanks.com.